Okay, thank you all for attending our symposium. You've already heard two fantastic presentations by my colleagues Jolanda and Sanne. My name is Anouk Oerlemans and I work as a PhD student at the Radboud University Donders Institute for Brain Cognition and Behavior and Character Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, Nijmegen, the Netherlands. And my thesis focuses on the overlap between ADHD and ASD. And I would like to tell you something about a paper I am currently working on. It's a little bit different topic than that is printed in the program book. I would have liked to talk about my paper on cognitive measures, but as many of you might have experienced themselves in research, things don't always go as planned. So unfortunately, and I hope that I won't be disappointing anyone if I tell you that I won't be telling you something about cognitive data, but I will focus on behavioral data in this talk. So my paper is called Quantitative ASD and ADHD Traits in Unaffected Relatives of Simplex versus Multiplex ASD and ADHD Families, Evidence for Overlapping and Unique Underpinnings for ASD and ADHD. That's rather a mouthful, and I will talk you through it. It's a paper I've been working on for the last couple of months, and this is also the first time that I will be presenting data, so bear with me. I'm not doing this research by myself. I have a wonderful group of colleagues that I work with, and you will find their names on the sheet as well. So, as Jolanda already mentioned, ASD and ADHD frequently co-occur. About 30 to 80% of children with an ASD disorder also meet criteria for ADHD, and vice versa, about 20 to 50% of children with ADHD also meet clinical criteria for ASD. And it is believed that a large proportion of the covariance of both disorders might be explained by shared additive genetic factors. Both the disorders, for both disorders, multifactorial models of inheritance have been proposed. And this morning, Professor Geswind already touched on that there are different models of inheritance for different types, for example, of ASD. And, in genetic research, it has been rather difficult to find genes that are risk genes in ASD. And similar models have been proposed for ADHD as well. And these models of this hypothesis is supported by findings that similar but milder cognitive behavioral abnormalities are also present in unaffected relatives, because relatives share a large proportion of their genes. Siblings on average share 50% of their genes. So if it's indeed caused by several risk genes, then it is to be expected that in the unaffected relative, to some extent, there are also features of ASD or ADHD. However, recently, findings point into the direction of different patterns of heredity in simplex versus multiplex families. And research has indicated that causal factors that are not shared between family members may play a role as well. And with that, I mean de novo mutations, for example, that are only present in the offspring, not the parents. I'm not sure if you're familiar with simplex multiplex. It's a pretty common distinction that is made in autism research. It's very new for ADHD, but it's as stated here, simplex families are families with one affected individual, here portrayed the purple person in the left figure, and multiplex families are families with two or more individuals that are affected by a disorder in one family. So in the right figure, you see three purple persons. And the idea is that in simplex families, those rare mutations or the de novo mutations or rare CNVs might be play a bigger role in the etiology of ASD or perhaps ADHD. And that is what you can also say is that only the affected child and the child with ASD and ADHD is truly affected by the disorder, and that the siblings, for example, in this family do not show any behavioral problems. Whereas in the multiplex family, it is believed that maybe had the multiple risk genes play a role, and that the that perhaps the unaffected children, so children who do not have a clinical diagnosis, show these mild behavioral problems. Roughly, this is a model for unique underpinnings for a disorder, which would be found, would be expected to be found in simplex families, versus shared genetic factors, which are more likely to be found in multiplex families. So I hope this concept is clear. For ASD, a number of studies have been undertaken to test whether simplex and multiplex families indeed differ based on their behavioral symptom presentation. I listed a couple of them. We already saw the first two references in the talk by Professor Geswind. We see that indeed a copy number variants are more common in autism simplex families compared to autism multiplex families. We also know from behavioral data that ASD-like traits are more prevalent in relatives in multiplex families, and that also the aggregation of these autistic traits is different for simplex and multiplex families. For ADHD, to my knowledge, no such studies have been undertaken. And if you look at studies, some will define that they used multiple incidence ADHD families, for example, but I couldn't find any studies that differentiate between simplex, multiplex, and compare children from these families. So what I hope to do in this paper, based on behavioral symptom presentation, is to sort of a proof of concept. Can we find similar results for the ASD cohort, but also is this distinction present in ADHD families? And if so, would this simplex multiplex method, stratification method, be relevant in ADHD research? So that brings me to the first aim, and that is to examine if the etiology is indeed different in simplex versus multiplex families based on the symptom presentation of unaffected siblings and parents, so the first degree relatives. And we believe that in simplex families, children and parents who are affected by the disorder are different from controls, but the unaffected siblings and parents are similar to controls. So they do not show any behavioral symptoms of ASD or ADHD, depending on which type of disorder is present in the family. In multiplex families, we do expect a difference for the unaffected siblings or the unaffected parents. We expect them to show mild behavioral problems of the same same disorder that is present in the family. We also would like to touch on the shared etiological underpinnings of ASD and ADHD. With the upcoming DSM-5, it's extremely timely to examine both disorders in common, because a double diagnosis is a possibility in a new DSM. And we also used here the simplex multiplex stratification method, and we expected that we would find elevated comorbid disorder problems in the unaffected siblings and parents from multiplex families only. So that means ADHD symptoms in unaffected siblings from ASD probands and vice versa. So again, only in the multiplex siblings. To test these aims, we used two large family genetic cohorts. The first one is the BOA cohort, the Biological Origins of Autism. It's a large family genetic study into the origins of autism. And the second is the IMAGE cohort, and that's a similar family genetic study but focuses on ADHD families. And these cohorts have been assessed lately in the last few years, and we could combine measures from both cohorts because they are very similar in the methods they used to screen children, but also the cognitive and behavioral data they collected. So children were enrolled if at least one child with a diagnosis of ASD or ADHD was present, and the child had to be between the ages of 2 and 21 years, so a rather broad age range. There also it was required that at least one biological sibling participated, regardless of affected status or age, and at least one participating biological parent. And then these two cohorts we combined, and then we would define the simplex and multiplex families. Were they present in the cohort, and what did they look like? And there we used a rather conservative approach. In accordance to Verkut and colleagues, they published a paper in 2009, and they listed some characteristics for simplex and multiplex families. All simplex families were required to have a single affected child, probant, a minimum of one male unaffected sibling, and specifically one male sibling, because the recurrence rate for ADHD and ASD is much higher in males than females. So there had to be one brother, an affected brother, and all other family members were required to be unaffected by ASD or ADHD. And we screened all children based on several screening questionnaires, for example, the SCQ and the CONA screening questionnaires, and all children who score clinically were also semi-structured interviews were administered, such as the ADI revised and the parental accounts of childhood symptoms. In addition to Verkut, we also included parental data. So we also screened the parents for the presence of symptoms. We did not make formal diagnosis for parents. We used cutoffs based on a paper by Hoekstra. And for the simplex families, both parents were required to be unaffected. So I think it's a visible figure. This is, for example, the BOA cohort. We started out with 185 families with at least two children, and we first determined how many children were affected. Families with two or more children that were affected were by definition multiplex families. And families with only one affected child, we looked at the gender of the sibling, and we looked at whether the parents were or weren't affected based on our cutoff guidelines provided by Hoekstra. So we ended up for the BOA cohort with 56 families who were truly simplex by our definition, and 59 multiplex families, so about a third of the cohort was multiplex and a third was simplex, and a third we couldn't place in our criteria because there were only, for example, female siblings present. For ADHD, it was a bit different. We started out with 238 families and we ended up with 31 simplex families and 171 multiplex families. So the ratio is very different, about 1 in 8 is simplex, and the rest, about three quarters, was multiplex in ADHD. That is the first interesting finding, that simplex ADHD might not be so clearly present in the population. So these are some sample characteristics for the children that were implemented in my analysis, and in total, we included 1,172 children and 1,024 parents, so a rather large data set. And I should note that these children were all high-functioning ASD and ADHD children, so unfortunately low function here. Our dependent measures, as I mentioned, we looked at quantitative autistic and ADHD traits. We measured them with the child's social behavior questionnaire, and we used an ASD core symptom scale. So we combined four subscales that are typical for ASD. We used the social communication questionnaire total score and Connors parents and teachers DSM-IV combined subscales. For parents, we use similar questionnaires. I should note that it's the ASBQ, not the CSBQ. It's the Adult Social Behavior Questionnaire. And we also used an ADHD self-report. And that was based on two questionnaires, because the questionnaires differed in two cohorts, the Connors and a questionnaire that was made by Coy and all in 2004. So these are the analysis we did. We used linear mixed models so we could account for within family variation, because we included brothers and sisters, so those the data was not independent. Therefore, we used the linear mixed models. And we included for children three fixed factors: diagnosed, type of disorder, and type of family. And we also covariated for age, the centered age, so sex of the child. For parents, this analysis looked rather similar, except for the diagnosis fixed factor, because we had no formal diagnosis of parents. And by definition, no affected parents were present in simplex families, because they were required to be unaffected. So we did not have all the groups. Therefore, the factor was missing from the analysis. We included two- and three-way interactions between the fixed factors in the initial model, but if they were non-significant, they were dropped. And for post-hoc analysis, we also included control data to examine whether the unaffected siblings were different from controls. So, now for the good part of the talk, the results. This is the ASD symptoms as measured with the SCQ, so the core symptoms of ASD. As you can see, that both simplex and multiplex probands on the left of each figure are show elevated scores compared to the controls, that is the reference line below. And also you can see that the unaffected siblings from multiplex families in the green circle do not show more ASD symptoms than controls, significantly more ASD symptoms than controls. We did not find this for the unaffected simplex siblings, so as presented in the red circle. They did not differ from controls, and that was exactly what we were hoping for, what we were hoping to find. So the red circle, green circle combination is what we aimed to find. For ASD symptoms as measured by the CSBQ, we found a little bit of a different pattern. Also, again, the probands and the children with ASD or ADHD were both elevated compared to controls, as did the multiplex unaffected siblings. Again, this was not different. However, the unaffected simplex siblings for ADHD cohort were also significantly elevated compared to controls, as were the simplex unaffected siblings in the ASD cohort. But I should mention, and that's why the line is dotted, that there was a significant difference between simplex and multiplex unaffected siblings. So multiplex family siblings did show more ASD symptoms than their simplex counterparts. So, not the ideal situation. For ADHD symptoms, we found the following results. These were the parent-reported ADHD symptoms, Connors combined subscale. Again, the probands, both ASD and ADHD, scored significantly higher than controls, as did the multiplex unaffected siblings. But here we found, again, in the ASD cohort, that the unaffected simplex siblings also were a little bit elevated on the ADHD symptoms, but to a lot lesser extent than their multiplex siblings. And the unaffected siblings from the ADHD cohort were did not differ compared to control. So here again, the green-red circles combination. And similar results were found for the teacher-rated Connors score. With regard to parental data, these are the ASD symptoms. As I mentioned before, by definition, there were no simplex affected parents, so that's what's missing here in the figure. But we see that the affected parents, both ASD and ADHD, are show heightened scores on ASD symptoms, as did, again, the multiplex unaffected parents. But for the ADHD cohort, we found that there was no elevated ASD score for the unaffected simplex parents, and there was for the ASD unaffected parents. So in the ASD cohort, the unaffected simplex parents also showed some ASD symptoms, but to a lesser extent than their multiplex unaffected parents. These results were the other way around for the ADHD symptoms. Here we found a similar pattern as before, but now in the ASD cohort, unaffected siblings' parents did not show ADHD symptoms. They were comparable to normal controls. So, to sum it up, we see that multiplex unaffected siblings showed elevated levels of behavioral symptoms. So we saw them showing ASD symptoms in the ASD cohort and ADHD symptoms in the ADHD cohort. Then we saw that the simplex unaffected siblings either did not show elevated levels of symptoms or showed some ASD or ADHD symptoms, but to a significantly less extent than the multiplex unaffected siblings. And there was no difference between simplex, multiplex, unaffected parents. So ASD in the ASD cohort, both the simplex and multiplex unaffected parents showed elevated signs of ASD symptoms. And in the ADHD cohort, both simplex, multiplex, unaffected parents showed ADHD symptoms. So with regard to the first aim, we found both supporting and some refuting findings, as visualized here. With respect to the second aim, again, we found that the multiplex unaffected siblings showed elevated levels of the comorbid symptoms, so ADHD in the ASD cohort and ASD in the ADHD cohort. Simplex unaffected siblings did show also similar pattern, so no elevated levels of comorbid symptoms or to a significantly less extent than the multiplex unaffected siblings. But here we found that ASD multiplex but not simplex parents showed some comorbid ADHD symptoms, and vice versa, ADHD multiplex but not simplex parents showed levels of comorbid ASD. So I can say we found some evidence for shared etiological underpinnings in ASD and ADHD, because we expected them to be found in multiplex families only, and that was exactly what we found. So this was a lot of information. What do these findings actually tell us? Overall, we found support for the hypothesis that the etiology is different in simplex and multiplex families based on symptom presentation. We found that multiplex unaffected siblings or parents showed more signs of ASD or ADHD than their simplex unaffected counterparts. And this is a proof of concept. We replicated findings that were previously reported. And with this method, in our cohort at least, a broad stratification can be made between the common and shared risk factors that should be detectable in the multiplex families and the non-shared unique risk factors that would be detectable in simplex families. And this approach has been successfully applied in genetic research, but it could also be used in other studies examining risk factors for ADHD and ASD. And we are actually working already on two different studies with this cohort and using the stratification method to find evidence for cognitive endophenotypes, the actual presentation I was planning to present here, but unfortunately the data is not yet finished, the analysis are not yet finished. We hope to find evidence for endophenotypes in multiplex but not simplex parents, so also on a cognitive level to see if the stratification method works. And also we test pre- and perinatal risk factors in multiplex and simplex ASD and ADHD families. So with that, we hope to identify the unique pre- and perinatal risk factors and for both disorders, but also the shared pre- and perinatal risk factors for the disorders. And that is a paper I'm working on with a master's student, Marlotte Bermagne. So what can we do with this information? We hope that with this information we eventually can gain more information about the etiology of ASD and ADHD, and also improve the information we give to parents, for example, We also work with the Alan Turing Institute, and they are making a prediction model based on cognitive data to predict whether you will belong to a simplex or a multiplex family. And with that information in mind, we could inform parents or siblings about the risks for the other children in the family, for example. And we also see from this data that it's important to follow up the unaffected siblings because they do show some behavioral symptoms, especially in the multiplex families. The limitations for this study, we used questionnaires only instead of, for example, also observation methods, so that's always a bit tricky. There was no formal parental diagnosis, although we used them in the definition of simplex and multiplex family. So the definition could be a bit off or not truly representative of the actual situation. But we believe by using a very conservative cutoff that we approach this rather well. And mostly the definition of a simplex family is a bit difficult because in theory, if another child is born into the family, it could develop ASD or ADHD, and then it is no longer a simplex family. So it's an at the moment statement about the family situation that could differ. So maybe some simplex families are not truly simplex, but because at the moment we don't know for sure. So, I hope it came across well, and if there are any questions, then let's hear them. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Hello. Thanks very much for a very interesting talk. I'm here. I just wanted to ask something about how you define the simplex and multiplex families. Given the overlap of ADHD and ASD, how many of the simplex families do you think would have the other conditions? So say if you had the simplex family that had ADHD, how many of the children and parents might also have the other condition?
Yeah.
Did you have a look at that at all, or are you planning on doing that?
I did. I also put it in the sample characteristics table, but I went over it pretty quickly. So, indeed, there was some presence of ADHD, for example, in the ASD, both the ASD simplex and multiplex families, and vice versa. There were children who fulfilled diagnostic criteria, also based on the interviews that had ASD in the ADHD cohort. We chose to make the definition simplex and multiplex to base it on the diagnosis of interest in both cohorts. So we chose, for example, within the ASD cohort to base the simplex multi definition purely on the ASD diagnosis in the family. And we did that so we were able to examine whether comorbid ADHD is more present in multiplex families. Because if you included ADHD in the simplex multiplex definition, so say all families with comorbid ADHD are also multiplex, then you could no longer test the second aim, because by definition all children who score elevated on ADHD were in multiplex families. So we could not test the second aim. And if you would do that, then you also would be needing to look at other comorbid problems. So why only account for ASD and ADHD? Why not also for anxiety disorders or other medical problems? So we heard that ASD and ADHD mostly never stand alone. So that's the reason why we did that. So in this slide you can see the percentages. I hope this answers your question.